This is the Glass Ceiling. Glass Ceiling. On Hard Facts. Hard Facts.
Should you consider family planning? On the Glass Ceiling, we discuss ways to destroy the invisible obstacles that prevent women from achieving social, economic, cultural, and political equality in our society. And today, we're talking about family planning. Starting a family is such a huge blessing. It is such a privilege. But it also comes with costs. It comes with challenges. If it is done at the wrong time, if it's done in the wrong way, if it is done at the wrong pace, it could make it harder for that family to grow economically. It could also lead to children who don't have access to quality education and health care and opportunities. It could also prevent a working mother from getting the most out of her career. That's why when we talk about families, we have to talk about family planning. And I have two guests today. Now, they are bread and butter be this. They are public health experts. And they're going to talk to us about what family planning entails. My first guest is a regular on the show. And she's back again today to join us, Dr. Chioma Nwakama. Good to have you on the show. Welcome. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Okay, and my second guest is Dr. Odebumi Adeni. Good to have you on the show. Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, hello, Sandra.
Good afternoon. Have you both on the show.
You.
Happy New Year.
Yeah, wish the same.
Okay, Lagos, if you have questions about family planning, go ahead and give us a call on 0700-993-993-993. Okay, I'm going to start with Dr. Nwakama. Can you first of all define for us what is family planning? How would you define family planning? I would ask Dr. Nwakama first, and then I'll come to Dr. Ni with that same question. Dr. Nwakama?
Okay, thank you very much, Sandra, and Happy New Year to you and listeners. So, according to WHO, I'll start with that because I kind of share the same definition with them. It's really holistic. It's the ability of individuals or couples to anticipate and attain their desired number of children. So, and this includes the spacing and the time of the births, and of course is achieved through the use of contraceptive methods or treatment of involuntary fertility. I must highlight some things here that I just to reiterate. So family planning is the consideration for whether someone wants to have a child or when they want to have a child, how many they want to have, with whom they want to have the child or children. And of course, this is talking about the spacing, because when we talk about when, talking both spacing, the age of the mother or the parents. So there's just a whole lot. And that's my definition of it. That's one of the things I like to emphasize, whether people want to have children or not, because when we talk about the desired number of children, people have to understand or need to understand that someone's desired number of children can be zero. So it's really important to emphasize that. So that's what it is for me and the W. Yes.
Okay. Dr. Ni, what is it for you?
Yeah, thank you very much, Sandra. Dr. Chima has actually defined it according to the World Health Organization. But when I see my patient, I always define to them as family planning, being that anything that you do to prevent pregnancy when you don't want it. You know, thus you don't want pregnancy. There are so many reasons why you don't want pregnancy at that time. Looking at the number of children you want to have, you have enough. I mean, we've had enough children, we don't want to have again, or we still have a baby that you want to space. So either you want to use it for spacing, or you want to use it that, okay, we want to put a final stop, that you don't want more babies again. So anything that you do to prevent you from getting pregnant, unwanted pregnancy. So that's what I explained to them as family planning.
Okay. All right, then. Now, let's talk about some of the social forces that are hostile to family planning. Let's start with the family itself. I'll stay with you, Dr. Nii. How often do you see situations where one spouse wants family planning or wants to wait to have children, but the other one doesn't? It could be the husband, it could be the wife. How often do you see it in your practice, Dr. Nii?
Well, for some years, we used to see that very, very often.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like the frequency has decreased a bit now. Maybe both of them are now on the same page.
Okay.
Looking at the economic situation and things like that.
Mm.
But we still see one or two people like that. Oh, especially the mother. Say, okay, I still want to have one more.
Mm.
Of course, depending on the number that they've heard. I still want to have one more, but my husband is like, you know, it's, you know, he doesn't want to have, and blah, 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 like that, you know. So we still see cases like that, where we see one spouse still willing to have more, while the other saying no. And that is why we call it family plan. It's not a decision that only one person can make. So they have to come to an agreement. Okay, what do we want? What is it that we don't want? Are we putting a stop? Are we putting a comma? Or should we just go ahead now? So we still see cases like that, but we try as much as possible to tell them that, okay, you need to reach an agreement as soon as possible. Because, you know, everything is time, especially when the woman is approaching menopause. We're getting older. You know that if you don't make up your mind now, it may not be advisable for you, or in fact, it may even be impossible for you when you want to. This usually occurs at times when maybe the first set of children are a bit older, and we say maybe the mother just wants a baby when others would have left. You know, it still happens, but like I said, I don't usually see them as I used to, because maybe people are now coming to the realization that it's not that easy to train a child or to nurse a baby because of economic situation, especially that we're experiencing now.
How about you, in your experience, Dr. Chioma, are you seeing more and more adoption of family planning, or do you still see hostility towards family planning?
Okay, thank you, Sandra. I think I agree with Dr. Nii. Over time, or in recent times, there's really been an uptick, you know, in contraceptive plan, you know, family planning and contraceptive methods,
mm-hmm,
by couples and also singles. So yet to be on the same page. We have, it could be, as he highlighted, it could be from the woman. Sometimes it's also from the man. Maybe he wants the woman to have more children, or he wants them to have more children. And for some reason, the woman can't have at that time, or does not want to. I'll give an instance.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while we encourage couples to have that early family planning conversation, mm-hmm, in fact, most possibly before you get married, know how many children you want to have, want to start having those children, because some people want to wait a year, 2 years before they start. And of course, the spacing. So these conversations are really important to have ahead of marriage. However, I also advise couples to give room for life. And, you know, events, dance and stuff, things happen as you progress.
Mm.
Aside that, the health of the woman is an angle I want to specifically look at. I recall an incident, this is even one of too many,
mm-hmm,
where maybe previous pregnancy, a woman had just a turbulent pregnancy period or delivery period. Maybe she had an emergency cesarean section. She has to wait for a couple of years before she has another child.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we encourage...
Dr. Chioma? Oh. Oh, Dr. Chioma, Dr. Chioma's internet is not is not doing us any favors. Apologies about that, Lagos. We will try to get Chioma back on the line so that she can keep sharing her thoughts. I'll quickly pivot to Dr. Nee now. Dr. Nee, let's move from the nuclear family to the extended family. Sometimes you hear about parents who put pressure on newlyweds to start having children. In your experience, Dr. Nee, how rampant is this? How effective is this pressure in disrupting family planning?
Yeah, thank you very much, Sandra. Yes, I've seen a lot like that, that the pressure will be coming from the parents.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. I gave birth to 7 of you. Why must you have just 2
mm-hmm.
or just 1? So God forbid if anything should happen to any one of them.
Mm.
You know, we have a lot of pressure like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but just like I said, you know, the global village is what we are living in now.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody knows what is happening. They are able to educate even the parents and they try to resist some pressure.
Mm.
You know, people are becoming more enlightened now than before. But like you said, it still happens.
Mm-hmm.
Happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I want to share this experience of a friend of mine that actually, when he wanted to get married,
mm-hmm.
you know, the wife to be then was not working, so okay, looking for a job then. But
okay.
We were like, okay, let her get a job. They waited.
Mm.
This job was not forthcoming.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay, the job is not forthcoming. The husband, I think he was a bit comfortable
mm-hmm.
to still go ahead with the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
So they decided to go ahead with the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
They fixed the date and things like that.
So mm-hmm.
Few months, maybe about, I think less than 2 months to the wedding, this job came for the wife to be then.
Ooh.
So I just doing our dream job. Excuse me. So she's like, okay, what are we going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And one of the conditions of this job is that she would not go on maternity leave for the first 2 years. So in other words, they are saying that, okay, you can't get pregnant within the next 3 years. Okay, are they going to take the job or not? Of course, they did. They took up the job and had to take up the family planning method.
Okay.
So, you know, the cultural thing that we find ourselves, the moment you are married, people start counting days for you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, 1 month, 2 months, 9 months, nothing. They didn't see anything. What happened?
Mm.
So, of course, the pressure now started coming in.
Right.
Pressure started coming in.
Right.
What's happening? Is anything wrong with any one of you?
Right.
And things like that. So the pressure has been always there, and it will still be there, though reduced. You know, I saw that, and of course, you know, had to open up. Okay, this is what happened. We are fine. Nothing is wrong with us.
Mm-hmm.
So from the word family planning, it's a plan. You have to plan, and that's what a lot of people don't understand. You know, the real world is contraceptive, you know, but just for people to understand it, that it is by planning. Okay, we want to have children when we are ready, when we are prepared for it, something that will not hinder the collective good, the collective growth of the family in every respect.
Mm-hmm.
So nowadays, I know people are becoming wiser and they are knowing how to handle pressures.
Mm-hmm.
Especially from the parents,
mm-hmm.
you know, that we cannot compare your time with our time.
Mm-hmm.
How much is a pack of diapers now, baby food, things like that. You know, even with that alone, it's like shutting them up.
Mm.
That, mom, there's a different word.
Will you give me money for diaper? For the educated
mom, now they know now.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you say?
I said, will you give me money for diaper, mommy?
More money for that, exactly. Are you going to do that when I'm still trying to even send money to you for your upkeep?
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like that. So, with a lot of awareness and enlightenment, I think the pressure is reducing, though it's still there.
Okay.
You find it especially among those that are more culturally inclined. So culturally inclined.
Okay.
There are some cultures that you believe that until you have a little child. You understand? So maybe the first is a female, second female. Oh, let's put a stop there. No, the pressure starts coming
out.
Yes.
But when you talk to some people, they'll say that there are so many good reasons to put that pressure. And I think I want to come to Dr. Chioma with this question, and hopefully her internet is much better now. So you have these people who say, oh, there are so many good reasons to put that pressure. They want to make sure that there won't be fertility problems. It's better to start having children when you're still young so that you're not having to raise them in middle age. You know, that's the reason that people get married. So what are you waiting for? When you hear things like that, Dr. Chioma, what do you say?
Okay, hi, Sandra. I hope you can hear me now.
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. So I think Dr. Nee has really, really illustrated a lot of things and highlighted a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
When I hear issues around the issues you just raised or the reasons people give for the pressure, I'm less concerned about what others think. I'm more concerned about what the affected persons think. And we're talking about the woman and the man involved, or the couple or the woman, you know, whatever the reason or the family unit is. So are you ready to have children, and what do you want? That's what's more important. If you start considering what every other person thinks, then it's not possible for you to please everyone. You're probably going to put yourself in trouble. I always advise them to always keep the main.
That's for men. Women, call us on 01465-7190. I'm glad that you have both talked about different kinds of family planning methods. I think I want us to go into a bit more detail with the different kinds of family planning methods. I'll start with you, Dr. Chioma, and then I'll come back to Dr. Nee. Dr. Chioma?
Sandra. So with the family planning methods, there are different categories of family planning methods depending on what the couple needs, what the woman needs. There's no one size fits all. So just as I advised the last couple that asked the question, when the key thing to have in mind is that there are different considerations, your age, your stage in life, what do you need, your spacing needs, medical history, and also how sustainable can you keep up with a particular family planning option? I'm just listing this before I share the methods. Now, the issue of sustainability, I'll give an instance. Someone like me, I don't like taking pills. I only take pills when I need to. I know, yes, I'm a doctor. I'm confessing, right? So I don't like taking pills. I prefer injections. So if I am to go for a family planning option, if it suits my health, one of the things I would rather go for is an injectable rather than a pill. So there are different things, and that's why you need to discuss with your family planning provider. So the options, of course, we have modern,
okay, Dr. Chioma, your network has gone bad again.
Methods, or the natural methods. Natural methods are the ones to take in anything, and nothing has to be put in. Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes, now we can hear you.
Okay. So I was saying we have the modern, we have the traditional family planning methods, or the natural family planning methods. The natural family planning methods are those ones that you're not taking in anything, and nothing is being put inside of the woman, or there's no intervention. So we're talking about lactational amenorrhea, just like the breastfeeding protection. That's people know it as, oh, you're breastfeeding, therefore it can prevent pregnancy. However, the thing with the natural family planning methods is they are not reliable. Hmm. And if you want to do it, you have to go to your family planning provider, and they are going to look, they will teach you how to really get it right. Right. So we can't go into the details of how to get it right on this show because of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we also have, coitus interruptus, that's the withdrawal methods.
Right.
There's a whole lot of them with the natural, checking your basal body temperature and calendar method, of course, an abstinence, that's like the first, so those are the natural family planning methods.
Okay. Let me go to Dr. Nii for the other kinds, because your network is so bad.
Hormonal or non-hormonal.
Dr. Chioma. Dr. Chioma, your network is so bad. Let's go to Dr. Nii. All right, Dr. Nii, she's talked about the natural methods. Let's talk about the other types of methods.
Yeah, okay, thank you. Yeah, she said earlier, when you make a choice, we always tell people that you're going to make the choice yourself. Mm. What we just tell them is that there are some criteria that must be fulfilled.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that you need to consider before you make a choice. One, there is no family planning method that is 100% perfect. Perfect in the sense that nobody has complained about it before or has never failed before. There is none. Even the BTL we're talking about, that's one. Then secondly, we tell them about the advantages of one over the other. Then we talk about the possible side effects of each one of them, because they have possible side effects, possible in the sense that it may happen and it may not happen. So we now left you, we will leave you with a choice. That's okay, make a choice. Which one do you want to go with? But there is what we call the medical eligibility criteria. You may make a choice that medically you are not eligible for that. So if you make a choice, we ask some questions to know that you are actually medically eligible for that method or not.
Mm-hmm.
If you are not, then we ask you to take up another method. Yes, Dr. Chioma has talked about will not enjoy her well because of the network, but she had talked about the natural method, which we have the withdrawal method, the exclusive breastfeeding method, that is the lactational amenorrhea, the fertility awareness method, that is the safe period, or the Billings method is still the same thing, or calendar method.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the those are the methods that we have, the three natural methods that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the other modern methods, we talk about the barrier method, which is the condom. We have the male condom, we have the female condom, then we talk about the hormonals. The hormonals, we have the tablets that you have to be swallowing every day. We have the implant that's known that is put in the arm. And that takes it can last for 3 or 5 years, depending on the type that you are using. Then we also have the injectables that you have to be taking the injections either every 2 months or every 3 months. So those are the hormonals. Then we have what we call the emergency contraceptive pills. It's also a form of hormonal method. You know, it's an emergency. It's not actually recommended for people that have sex regularly, you know, because we say that you should not use it more than twice, maximum of twice in a month. So if you know that you are having sex more than that, it's not even recommended. If you want a tablet or hormonal, you can go for the regular oral contraceptive pills, which is the tablet. Then we have the intrauterine devices. That's the IUCD, the commonest type there is copper T. You know, it can also be hormonal or not. But even if it's hormonal, the hormone is locally acting, not affecting your body.
Hmm.
So we have that intrauterine contraceptive device.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the surgical methods, which we have mentioned in passing the other time, which are the permanent methods. That's the vasectomy for the male and bilateral tubal ligation for the female.
Mm.
Of course, the two of you don't have to do it. It's just one person that we do it. So those are just the lists. I don't know, time may not permit us to be going into details. But the important thing is that just like Dr. Chima mentioned, we can't force anyone on you. There are no tests that you are to do that will say, oh, this is what you must use.
Mm.
No, there are no tests like that.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be your choice. If you're somebody that does not like tablets like Dr. Chima putting your leg and comes to me as a family planning provider, I say, oh, it is a tablet that you must use.
Mm.
I'm just telling her to go and get pregnant indirectly. You understand? Yes, that's what it means. If you are forcing your choice. It must be something that is acceptable
to the patient.
The person must be able to accept it.
Right,
yes.
Right. Okay.
That's just it.
Okay. We have lots of calls. Let's take, oh my God, we have just 1 minute. Oh my God, where does the time go? How do we have just 1 minute? How is it possible we have just 1 minute left? Okay, very quickly, 99.3. Hello. Sorry about that. Give us a call back if you can. 99.3, hello. Ah, what happened? Okay, let me go to WhatsApp where we have this message that says, can birth control pills that I took during my university days be the reason why taking in is difficult now? Last year, I had 2 miscarriages. In October, I had 42 days cycle. In November, 42 days. Now it's 51 days, no period. Did pregnancy test twice negative. My hormonal profile result came out saying that my progesterone is low. I've taken a medicine, still no period. What should I do? Who wants to take that? I want to say Dr. Nii, because Dr. Chima's internet is not our friend today. Dr. Nii, go ahead.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say that the person should go and do a hormonal profile, which she's now saying that she has done, and we have been able to identify the problem. So that has to be treated first. If the progesterone is low, it may be difficult to get pregnant. That's the truth. And the treatment, of course, in conjunction with the gynecologist,
mm-hmm.
you know, it may take a while until that is corrected. So that's an identifiable problem. So we need to solve that problem first.
Okay.
Now, the question is that could it be that the pills that she has used in the past
mm-hmm.
is affecting that? Well, we cannot say yes or no.
Okay.
And this is the reason, because for people that never used it, they will have the same problem that you are having.
Mm.
So that's one thing about that. Then also about the, you know, the other time I was talking about emergency contraceptive pills, you know, a lot of people use, well, we have different types of them, and there's this common one, which I don't want to mention on the air now, you know, that people just use it a lot. Anytime they had intercourse or protected intercourse, they would just use it. It's always there for them as a kind of a savior, so to speak. But yes, like I said the other time, that most of these emergency contraceptive pills, you shouldn't take them for more than twice in a month. And we have it written even in the leaflet there. So a lot of people, a lot of ladies have taken even without reading, without knowing that. So we cannot 100% say that it is not impossible. But whether it's the result or it's not, what is important, like I said, even if you didn't take them in the past, the same thing could still have happened. The most important thing is to identify what is the problem, which has been identified here as low progesterone.
Mm.
And you need to be on the treatment. for some time and check if it has been restored. And if that's the problem, actually, by the time problem is corrected, then you will get pregnant.
Okay. All right. We're going to have our doctors back next week, Wednesday. And when they come in, they will just be answering your questions about family planning only. I won't even ask them anything. Just you and the doctors from next week, Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Dr. Chioma, Dr. Nii, thank you so much for your time today. I'm hoping that Dr. Chioma can hear us from the land of no internet.
Yes, I can. Thank you.
Yay. Okay. Dr. Chioma's baby turns 1 year old, by the way, at the end of the month. Happy best day in advance to your baby.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, doctors, for joining us on the show. Lagos will take a break. When we come back, let's talk about the new Naira notes and the cash limit policy.